stop the process anytime you wish. You still are a free moral agent with God. You can never, ever take away your free moral agency. Ever. Don't tell me you can, because even Adam did some things that he really wasn't supposed to do, and he was a born again, well, he wasn't born again, but he had the Holy Ghost in his soul. And he did some things that were pretty rough, and so did Eve. Okay? So let's just don't try to... It's not the statue of a perfect man. If a statue moves, it's not a statue. Right? If a statue, but a stature, it's growth development or height development. Stature, not statue. And you can stop it anytime you want to. You say, with the Holy Ghost in your soul? Yeah, with the Holy Ghost in your soul. Last night I was thinking about that. Brother Ramsey, remember the preacher? Brother Ramsey said he was a born-again Christian. Right. Preacher.
Yes.
Said, I ain't preaching no more. He got a spirit on him. Went out and started drinking. But I'm going to tell you something. He didn't lose his salvation.
Right.
He just got a demon on him that overtook that man. But you know what? God didn't let him live for a long time. That's about 6 months later, Brother Ramsey said God took him home. Right. So he wasn't marred his name. So see, God's gracious in that if we do things that seemingly is kind of like we were talking about suicide. You know, in the denominational world, you commit suicide, you're hell. I mean, it's just a straight cube to hell. But we know that's not right.
Right.
We know that's not right. Amen. Why? Because you didn't do it in your soul. You did it in an anointing on your spirit and your humanity that made you do what you did. All right? Pretty much.
You did it.
Okay.
You expound on that.
Okay. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Listen, when you get born again in your soul, you don't have to go back through that form of justification. I was hoping we'd get into that last night, but we couldn't. You don't have to go back to that form of sanctification. You got to move out of that middle realm because it's finished. It's done. Now, where does your growth come from? It comes from what's that's inside. Because the life is in that seed word that you take in your soul, but you got to let it work out or you can stop it. But we have the full word, so there's really no excuse for us to stop it. So, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us, like I told you before, I read that quote last Sunday, the people in Kentucky, they look a little cross-eyed at you every once in a while where I tell them that Jesus never came to bring you an inheritance. He didn't.
Right.
No. He did not come to bring you an inheritance. Nope. He came a way to get you back to your inheritance.
That's right.
A new and living way which hath He consecrated Himself so that we can be consecrated. Because He didn't bring you an inheritance. If He brought you an inheritance, then it developed as soon as Jesus came on earth. Your inheritance was before the foundation of the world.
Right.
You just couldn't get back to it because of the what? Because of the sin curse. I believe that's in Hear Ye Him, 1961 is the very quote that I use. Brother Bram says, no, He did not bring you your inheritance. He made a way to get you back to your inheritance. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say His flesh, He had to die a human being. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, a true soul, in full assurance of faith, having our soul sprinkled from an evil conscience. So it's done away in the soul. We're trying to work on the spirit guy. And our bodies washed with pure water. Now, that doesn't mean you go take a bath and you're fine.
Right.
Okay? That's washing of the water of the Word. Pure Word. Pure water. Right? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Read that again. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised it. In other words, God promised it. We put all of our faith in Him. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Oh.
That's right.
If you're in the message, this doesn't apply to you anymore. I'm going to read you the Bible. Whatever you do with it, that's your business. Uh-huh. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I'm telling you, if you're not going to church more than you were back 10 years ago, you're lost. You do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll look at you, every one of you, in the face. You do not, because this scripture right here. And so much the more as you see what day approaching? The day when we're not going to be able to assemble like this. You better pack enough in your storehouse to where if you can't get to church, you can teach your family at home.
That's right.
But you can't do it sitting at home.
Right.
I'm just going to read the Bible. Look, for if we sin willfully. See, if you don't believe this right here, you're sinning willfully. Now, sinning willfully, that makes you lost. If you sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, there is no sacrifice for that. Right. For you knowing, and you don't do it. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. And thank God for that. Excuse me. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. So Moses was a man of the day. And even though you say, well, that was just the law, they lived by it, they didn't live by it, they died. Okay? He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment. Oh, he's magnifying it now.
Yeah.
Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of God. In other words, if they trod Moses, being a human, if they trod Moses' message, and they didn't make it, they died without mercy, how much more sore punishment they do the same thing when we read the Bible and God tells us what to do. And God tells us what to do. And we trodden underfoot the Son of God. How much more is that? Moses was just letters on a page. Son of God was a man. God in human flesh talking to us, trying to get us to do right. And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and holy thing. In other words, you're saying he's not got enough for me to live the way I'm supposed to live. But you know, you're wrong. He does. And Paul's saying you're wrong. And hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. He's asking the question. For we know him that saith, vengeance belongs unto me. Now who said that? God. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, in other words, and after the word comes, you endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproach and affliction. Paul's talking about coming into Christ and being, you know what? He was partly to blame for that. Paul persecuted the Christians before he got converted.
Yeah.
So he's partly to blame for this. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyful the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. In other words, Paul's saying, you guys that are bound to me, same way we're talking about now, the people that are bound to this message, we have to put up with all the spoiling of people saying this and people saying that and all these different things. But we know the message is right. Knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Matthew 24. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Cast not away therefore your confidence. That's what Satan's doing right now. He is tearing down the confidence of the people in this message. What he's doing. Right? And doing it from within. So, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience.
Amen.
Everybody take their hand and go. Me and Jim were talking about that this morning coming up here. You got to have patience. Those who endure to the end. Why can't I have it right now? Why can't I have it right now? You know what? If you and I want something as an adult, we wait. Right? We have patience. We wait to get the things we need.
I said, we don't like it, but we
want it. Oh, yeah, her. So does the kid don't like it either. I want that toy, I want that toy, I want that toy. Get it when I can afford it. So there's patience. Same way with God. You get crying and crying and crying. He says, shut up. I'm going to let you go a little bit longer, okay? You're going to learn this thing. For we have need of patience, and that after you have done the will of God. Circle that word right there. After ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. That's what I said about going, you know, you say, well, what about, the Bible tells us what to do. If we don't do it and we worry why we're not getting results, let's go check ourselves up. Are we studying enough? Are we praying enough? Are we coming to church with a wonderful attitude that God's going to meet us here? Or do we sit at home and go, well, I'll watch him because my big toe hurt. So, I love the internet. I love that we're on YouTube. But I'll never stay home and watch a service if I can come to church. That will never happen. All right? Sick, yes. Some have to work. Like Brother Kern, he knows he has to work one Sunday. But you know what? He don't miss three or four. He comes. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we have circumstances. You say, well, that's got to be cut and dry. It is cut and dry because he's working towards something. We're all working towards something, all right? But just because you don't feel good, I don't feel good either, but I come on. We use those circumstances for a lot of things. I come here to learn, but I come here to teach you too. I come here to think about this morning. You know, I come here with a dual purpose. And as Brother Dale was talking last night, we are no greater than nobody else. Don't you ever think that me or Brother Dale either one, and he's never, and I've never projected, I don't think that we're up here and y'all are down here. No.
It's a gift God gave individually.
Yes. Because we're no different than the body of Christ. Only we have a gift that where God can speak to me, maybe, where he couldn't speak to Brother Ryan the same way. You understand what I'm saying? The same way. Because look, the finger is just as important. Man, I got a hangnail in that finger right there the other day, and it was so sore. Just a little hangnail. Took a couple of days off of work. Didn't come to church. No, but it hurt because every time I'd reach and get something, I'd hit that. Well, you know what? That finger's important. Every person is important in the body of Christ. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, what is His will? His will is His word. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Talk about me and you. You say, oh, no, that's God. Well, where's He coming at? He's coming to you. Now the just shall live by... Who said that? Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then he goes into Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let's go. Last one, we're going to try to get out of Hebrews 10, get to Hebrews 11. Good to have everybody here today. Lord bless your heart. And hope you had a good week. And you definitely got a good start of another week.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Today being the first day of the week. Oh. Okay. So now let's turn to, Hebrews 10. We got down to his enemies made his footstool. Thank Ryan for doing the Sunday school class.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Yes. Boy, I'll never clap for me. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. Now this is something we were talking about a little bit last night in the Bible study. For those of you that weren't here, there were 51 of us here last night. So we keep doing this, we're going to have it up in the sanctuary. But no coffee or
no donuts.
No donuts.
No brownies.
No brownie. But no, wait a minute. I'll find a quote for that brownie. Them brownies is too good. Them brownies is too good. No. But no, we had a full house, and that was great. Thank you, everybody, for coming. So, but my one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. All right? And then we talked about justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost, like what Brother Dale's been talking about. So let's just keep going. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he has said, now look, you got to get to where he says those who he's justified, he's already glorified, because that sanctification is not just the unclean spirit going out. Because the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. So he's talking about a daily sanctification. It's not just you get sanctified, you get the Holy Ghost. That's not what he's saying. Because look, he has perfected. You're not perfected until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are heading toward perfection, but you're not perfected at sanctification, baby born. Now the I die daily part, yes you are. You're already born again. You're sealed in. Satan can't get in. God can't get out. What a wonderful thing. Alright? So he's working in sanctification on the outer man, or the middle man. For by one offering you have perfected for everything that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, or in their inward being. Because in the Old Testament, remember, we've been through this months. In the Old Testament, God could not dwell in their soul. He could anoint them. Okay, but now he's talking about another covenant when Jesus raised the cup and in Matthew and says, this is the New Testament in my blood. Right? So the New Testament in his blood was that he took our sins away, and we don't have to go back to the what Paul's talking about up here is priests stood and made sacrifices. Christ stood and made one sacrifice. He don't make no more. Right? He's done perfected forever those who are just are sanctified. Alright, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and into their minds will I write them. Alright? And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I want us to remember that God is telling us this we know one thing, this comes from the Old Testament. So God's going to do that to Israel too. God's going to take the 144,000 through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're going to be preached to just like you are, because they got to receive the Holy Ghost. Right? But now remember, position-wise, they're not brides, so don't get that messed up. They're servants because they were divorced or put away by God in the Old Testament. And he married us. You can't have two wives. Beyond popular belief in some of the people in the message, you don't need two wives. You can't have two wives. What a revelation. It'd have to be. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Right? Because I've been reading, I went back, like I tell you, I've been in Chronicles and Kings, and now I'm in the book of Esther. But Chronicles and Kings, man, one king could come in and he'd tear all the groves down. Put them back, go back to temple worship. He had died, and his son had raised up, and he'd raise him groves all back up again, start sacrificing his kids to Moloch. In other words, you know what that was? They would sacrifice their children to appease God. They would literally take their children and throw them in fire to appease the God. God. So, you see what I mean? Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. There's going to be an Old Testament group of people that's going to be saved. Okay? Because they're God's people. God can't forget Israel. That's why he's going to save that 144,000. At the end time, after we're gone, at the end, he's going to save them, sanctify them, fill them with the Holy Ghost, and they will be servants because they lost the position of bride. Okay? Now remember, you and I can never be servants because we're the wife. We're the wife of Christ, so we're not a servant. We are his wife. And I want to hit on that maybe later on upstairs on the seventh seal. We must not see ourselves as bride anymore. There was a bride in the church ages. God married a bride in the church ages. But in Revelation 19, when we come back into the millennium after the all this is done and over with, we are His wife. There's a big difference in a bride and a wife. Big difference. Now you got to be a bride first. But now you look at me and tell me that your wife is the same person you married. No, she's not.
Right.
When you first got married, you fumbled around like you had three left hands. I had one. And me and Frieda, when people say you're left-handed, we say, yeah, that's right. We did things left-handed. But you did. Come on, people. When you got married, you didn't know exactly what your wife wanted. She didn't know exactly what you wanted. You fought and fussed and fumed. But now you get a little bit older, and maybe because you can't hear as well as you used to or remember things. Preach it, brother. You don't even know. You're not even 40 yet. So it's, yes, it's a cycle.
But he's not
40. Louise. Are you 40 yet? You're not even 40. You're not even close.
39 next month. This month.
Oh, Lord. I'll be married 40 years in October. I release you to your mama. Let her talk to you. How that Colombian came in. So anyway, let's get back to what we're talking about. But anyway, even in life, remember, a bride, it's just like Brother Dale's talking about, going up that statue of a perfect man. You start as a bride. And you go up, work your way up that statue of perfect man. And when we come to body change, we're going to be the wife of Christ. Now, sure, you can keep saying bride. People look at you sometimes, you know, cross-eyed. What do you mean we're not bride anymore? We're not. We started bride.
Yeah.
But we're His wife. The Bible tells us we're His wife. I'm not telling you anything different. I'm going to Revelation 19 says His wife hath made herself ready.
Right.
So you do have something to do with it. Just like what we're talking about.
You don't say you're bride. You don't say, well, here's my bride. You say, here's my wife.
Right. You do that, you say, well, you know, when you do come up, your terminology is, well, this is my new bride. But, you know, you really do away with that when you've got bride and bridegroom. That doesn't carry on very far into your marriage.
Right.
It becomes husband and wife. And that's correct, because the same thing with Christ. I mean, you top the whole thing is that you're married to Christ. Well, you become His wife because what? I've got the quotes, so we can use them later upstairs. She has His potential. She knows what He wants to do with the Word. Right? Same way with June, and you know, many times, and you know it too, you'll be thinking the same thing, and you'll both blurt it out at the same time. And you'll go, well, she said something the other day, and I said, well, I'm just thinking the same identical thing. Well, you know what? That means there's a communion there that's really supernatural. Same thing between Adam and Eve. Before the fall, there was a supernatural connection between Adam and Eve to where, like I was telling them up in Kentucky, Adam and Eve were co-equal before the fall. People don't like to preach that. Read your Bible. Her name was not Eve until the fall. Her name was Adam. And she was co-equal with Adam before the fall. Okay?
She was flesh of His flesh.
And bone of His bone. And actually, her part of her spirit came out of Him and went into her. So, boy, what a connect. Well, what in the world happens between us and Christ? Part of His spirit comes out and goes into us.
Bam! Revelation.
Smell fireworks. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. So you don't have to, in other words, we were talking about it last night. You got to remember, baby form justification is not like the second form of justification, where Brother Brown talks about a mysterious part. Now, people were taught years and years of justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost. Well, now, justification just chucks off your past sins. Now, the next form of justification doesn't just chop off your past sins. Your past sins already chopped off.
That's right.
And you already have the Holy Ghost, so there's nothing accounted against your soul.
Right.
You don't have to go back in and get your soul justified the second time. Or the third time. No, you're working on the second realm of man, the spirit realm, is what God's working on right now. If you're born again, you're not born again. He's working on the inside guy to get it cleaned up and give it to the Holy Ghost. Because if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, you're a sealed person. Luther was a sealed person. He didn't smoke, drink, and do the things he did in his soul.
Right. Right.
He did it in his spirit realm. There was not enough preaching or background. I was looking at him last night. He didn't have enough background. All he knew was that he received the Holy Ghost and wanted you to receive the Holy Ghost apart from the works of the Catholic Church. That's all he had.
Right.
That's why he was a reformer. He reformed them. What does reform school do? Really doesn't change the person. It just tries to reform you and bring you out, you know. But he did have the Holy Ghost in his soul, so you couldn't bother that soul. Luther never smoked a pipe and drank a beer in his soul. His soul never... You say, well, yeah, I'm sure he had problems with that. I'm sure he had problems with that. Back and forth, he still warred with that because Paul said the same thing. The things I would not, I do. The things I do, I would not. That's not in Paul's soul. That's in his spirit realm. That's the problem that we have. We have a problem with your soul being God. If you realize your soul was God and it does not sin, can't sin, won't sin, never did it in the first place, then there's your new birth. But now you got to start working on that next guy. The outside guy, the memory, reason, conscience. And you do need to be justified. Because justified is what? Justified, you're just. You got to realize, hey, it doesn't matter about these dirty thoughts that I have in my mind. I used to have them, I still have them. But I don't dwell on them like I used to. So see, Luther never had that part. Luther never had the teaching to bring him to a true justification that the real him never did. But I'll promise you one thing. You bring Luther in here today and let him listen to Brother Dale talk about justification or listen to the past 4 or 5 sermons about justification, I'll guarantee you, you would not keep him in his seat. Because the Holy Ghost inside of him would quicken the little bit that he had, and it would just be a complete revelation. Right? So,
didn't Brother Brandon say when the bride realizes who she is?
That's right. We have not realized who we are. That's what we're trying to do.
Brother Wade, can I say something just a second? When we were talking about Luther and him having the Holy Ghost and Wesley having the Holy Ghost, well, you know, when it comes to Ezekiel, that's who it was, when he was talking about the wheel in the middle of the wheel, well, that was Christ in the church all down through the 7 church ages.
Sure.
So, they have to have the Holy Ghost, justification, sanctification,
sure,
baptism of the Holy Ghost, because
sure,
it was Christ in them,
sure,
for their age.
Right. Well, even Columba. See, Columba was a, you know, he was in a very dark age, but he had light.
Yes.
His light was the gospel of the time.
Yeah.
And Martin Luther's light was to bring a group of people out of the Catholic dogma, doctrine, and quicken the word that he had, which was just a little small piece of the whole puzzle. But it was, you know what? You go out there in the garden, you put the seed in the ground. When them two shoots come up like this, you say, well, that's not corn yet. But you know what? You cut it down.
Yeah.
It's got the life of the corn in those two stalks.
Yeah.
You got to leave it alone and let it continue to grow and let that shoot go up.
Right.
Because the life's in there. But now these two things die. They're very important. Luther's very important. That's the basis of all Christianity, modern Christianity. You understand what I mean? Coming out of the Catholic Church, the basis of all Christianity comes from Luther and Wesley and Pentecost.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
That's why Brother Branham had to come to tie up the loose ends that were still there, because when Wesley came out of the Catholic Church, he brought a lot of dogma with him. Because he didn't have any background. Lord, he didn't have nobody to teach him. All he was taught was, just, you know, say 20 Hail Marys and, you know, do the beat yourself, and I love that movie. I go back again. If you ever want to see a good movie, see the one by Martin Luther that had Fiennes. His last name's F-E-I-N-E-S, Fiennes.
Joseph.
Jeremy, or one of his two brothers.
Joseph
Fiennes.
Huh? I thought it was
another one. I did too. But anyway, look it up, because this is a really good movie, because what it does, it shows Luther struggling with what's inside of him. And then do exactly what Brother Branham said. He said it wasn't that Luther, I was reading it last night, it wasn't that he was so much a fanatic, It's that he could hold his head above the fanaticism around him. But in that movie, Luther comes back into a town and they're burning. You see a Catholic church on fire and they're throwing the priest out the door.
Yeah.
Luther runs up and says, "Stop!" And the guy turns around and said, "This is what you taught us to do."
Yeah.
So, and then it hit him that what he was doing was is the people were taking the fleshly emotion. And he was trying to get them out of the Catholic Church spiritually.
Right.
And they were getting them out physically. So that was a turmoil. And then see, Brother Brown brings that up. And the movie wasn't even made at that time. So I know Brother Brown didn't watch the movie.
Yeah.
And then you see that he held his head above the fanaticism that was going on. Well, don't you see that happening the same thing right now? There was fanaticism with everybody in every age. Okay.
But people don't realize the word they have. They didn't have it, and as they come up, that's what the prophet said.
Well, you got to be careful saying that. They had the word.
Yeah, but not.
They had the word for their day.
Right.
Because they had the complete Bible. The Bible was written by Tyndale and all those people about time of Luther and Wesley. They compiled what we have. Well, mine's upstairs. What you have in front of you, Luther had parts of that. So they were compiling the Bible, and he could read the word. But the analogy I always use, and it works for me, is you take your hand. And all I see right now is Sister Anna Kennard. But now that doesn't negate everybody sitting in this building.
Right.
I can only see Anna Kennard. Because why? I'm shielded.
Right.
But the word's here. Amen. The people, there's 30 people in this room. But if I do this, so that's what God did. God didn't literally blind Martin Luther's eyes, but he only gave him enough to get out because he was a reformer.
Right.
The full word, listen, you know why he did that?
Why?
For you sitting right here today.
That's right.
Because the plan of redemption is a full plan, not just a part plan. Luther could only bring a part. Wesley brought a part. Pentecost brought a part. And then this message brings the fullness.
I wonder why.
It doesn't do this. It does this. And it does this. And then see, remember the whole book's open now. See, you could only, Martin Luther could only crack the book open and look and see, the just shall live by faith. And you know what? That was a revelation because for 1,500 years they lived by.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Catholic Church. All you got to do is pay your novenas and all that. So, did somebody have a hand up?
I just said, I wonder why couldn't it all just be open at once? I mean, I wonder why it had to be a little and a little more and a little more.
Let me back the tape up. You, for us. God wanted to work in fullness in His church, and He could only work in part through Martin Luther. And was happy with that, because it was the stock, but the life was in that stock.
He's down at one time, and it started growing back.
Well, see, what happened is, in the when I'm getting done with this, but in the first church ages, even, you know, the seed had to go into the ground. We know that was Christ. He had to go in the ground and die so that we could come forth. But truly, the church had to go in the ground at Nicaea, Brother Brown said. The true seed went in the ground, and you couldn't see it anymore because it's buried in the earth. During the 1,500 years of Dark Ages, they literally killed people. Remember when we went through the horse riders and all that, you know. Then you had two shoots come out, which was Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. Well, you know what? That didn't look too promising. But you know what? The life, anything, every seed that was going to be brought forth was in them two little shoots coming out of the ground. When you plant an apple tree, you put a seed in the ground, every apple that's going to be on that tree is in that seed. That's God. Because out of that one little seed that you can just barely, I mean, like a pea, I've got a tree now that's about that big around with 500 apples on it. Come out of that one seed. Right? Same way with God. So the two shoots come up. That's Martin Luther. The life was in that. But that wasn't all. It continued to make a stalk, Wesley, a tassel, Pentecost, and then a true seed, which is me and you. Because it's the law of reproduction. You've got to have a seed to make another plant. Right? For us to be bride like we are now, we had to have Martin Luther's day, but just a little portion of it.
Did you answer her question?
Because
we can't handle it in its fullness, just like today.
That was my question.
Well, yes, we can.
Well, we're not.
Yes, we can, though. Yes,
well, we can,
though.
But
he could not. But he could not.
I'm asking what you're saying.
Right.
But he could not.
Right.
He couldn't handle the fullness. If he would have got the fullness, you wouldn't be here. That's why I said the reason he didn't come to the fullness is because you're sitting here today.
Predestination.
Huh?
Predestination.
Yes, predestination. And it had to be the plan of God, because remember, two shoots is not the seed. It contains the life of the seed. But it's got to look like what went in the ground. Two shoots didn't go in the ground. The seed went in the ground. Two shoots come out of the seed. Then the stalk, then the tassel, then what? The seed hanging at the end is me and you. We saw, going to Illinois last week, we saw a field full of wheat. You know when wheat's ready to harvest? You know how the farmer knows that? Because it bows his head. That whole long thing bows its head like this, and we saw that going through Kentucky.
What Martin Luther had was a revelation. Faith is a revelation. The just shall live by faith.
Right.
It's been a constant revelation. Constant.
Sure.
And we're still not at the end right here, because
right.
we have to realize who we really
That's
are.
Right. But we can.
We really are. We can.
His group could not. Wesley could not. Pentecost
right.
could not.
Mm-hmm.
And part of, the first part of Brother Brown's message could not.
Right.
But you're the last time. You're the second
right.
one. Remember, it went away from them. I read you the quote in the sixth seal. It's gone from you. It's not for you. Why? They were in that old Pentecostal age of hair and dress and clothes and not the revelation of the full opening of the book. But listen, it's all for you and me. That's the only way I see it. It's just because he wanted somebody to be the fullness of the Word. And to be the fullness of the Word, you had to start as a little plant. You had to start as two shoots. You had to go up just like... Because you know what? God can't do anything that He hadn't already done before. Okay? He can't. He can't change His plan. His plan stays the same. We have to adhere to that plan. Martin Luther adhered to that plan. But what happened now when Martin Luther passed away, what happened was the people took his doctrine and said, this is it. And said, no more. Well, see, God never says that. No more. That's when they made a Lutheran church. Right? Then what did God do? Brother Brown said God just moved right on and picked up a man named John Wesley, who got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he got a little extra. He got the part of sanctification to clean you up. But remember, it wasn't in his soul. It was in his spirit realm. He was born again just like you are. But his potential was sanctification. Live a good, sanctified, holy life, and everything will be okay. And you know what? There's bride waiting now for us to destroy death through the Word and bring them back here. And they'll be a very rejoiced people, because Luther's people died under the just shall live by faith. Okay? So they were given the Holy Ghost, bride, because of that part of the Word. I was reading a quote last night while y'all were talking, where Brother Brown said he not only preached justification. If you'll read the Sardesian Church Age about the messenger, he'll tell you about Martin Luther. Martin Luther, you say, well, he preached the just shall live by faith. Now, he didn't just turn on a tape recorder and say, all right, listen to this, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live. No, he preached the Bible.
Right.
But his angle was, come out of that Catholic Church, doing all that you used to do, and come into the Bible and read that the just shall live by the faith of God.
Yes.
Not the faith, because you know where they have their faith for 1,500 years? They had it in that Catholic Church. They had it in that Catholic dogma. They didn't have it in the Word of God, because they didn't have the Word of God. Remember, Catholics kept it away from them. So, let's get back to this. We got to get done with Hebrews 10. 11 has got 11 is where I'd like to get to pretty quick. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the new birth. The Holy of Holies is what? It's that middle man. If you're born again in that middle man, your sins have been remitted. It never will sin again, and it never sinned in the first place. That's what we got to realize. The second realm is where we're having our problems, because Satan's going around and around like this. Right? Inside that second realm. But this message, to me, the statue of perfect man, touches on that second realm. Telling you what you already are. Martin Luther probably read, "Those who is justified is already glorified," and he probably shouted about it, because you know what? The Holy Ghost inside of him said, that's exactly the truth.
Yeah.
But he couldn't explain how that happened, because he didn't have enough word to explain it by. Like I said, he had a narrow... Listen. See that little speck, the smallest speck. If that little speck is God, it's eternal. So whatever Martin Luther had, it doesn't matter if it looked like a molecule. If it was God, he's eternal. Okay? So that's what I want to tell you. That's what I wanted to tell you last night. Any part of God that's revealed to you and is a revelation, it is eternal. Can never go away. So Martin Luther said, "The just shall live by faith." And God said, "I'm happy with that part right there. Let's go with that for a while until the next group comes." Right? Because even you baby form justification, God can't just dump all the word on you. You wouldn't be able to handle it. Take a baby. And at a month old, start shoving steak down its throat. You'll kill the baby. Right? You got to feed it, and that's the same way God feeds us. He bottle feeds us, hand feeds us, and then all of a sudden one day He says, "Cut your own food."
Now, you just answered my question.
Hmm?
Now you just answered my question.
Well, what was the question? So we can...
About why did it not all come at one time? Because
of that.
Justification.
Because the same way, and really it is. I mean, you're a baby. You're a spirit-born babe in Christ. God's not going to reveal the seals to you because you have to process whatever you do in this life. I don't care if it's worldly things, and I don't mean worldly. I mean your job, your bills, your any. It's got to go through your brain. You have to process that. God's not going to just throw it down in here.
Yeah.
No, you got to hear it first. God's not going to give you a new birth and you've never heard the Word of God at all. How's He going to birth you? Because if it's the birth of the Word, then you must hear and hold on. That's what Brother Dale's been telling us for 3.5 years. They heard God talk Himself. There was no filter there.
Right.
There was no chance of error. But it took them 3.5 years to receive the Holy Ghost. But once they received the Holy Ghost, all that was quickened that they had heard for that 3.5 years. Same way with you and I. I've told you my story. I'll tell you again. Real quick. When I got born again, I believe I went faster than others or in my process because I had all this laying in here from 14 and 15 years old of reading and studying and all that. But you know what? He had something to work with. Somebody coming in off the street that struggles. See, I can't enter into that. I could try, but it's just like some of you that have parents that are deceased. I can't come up to you and say, "I know how you feel."
Right.
My parents are alive. I never want to go up to somebody and say, "Well, Bob, I know how you feel." Well, both your parents are alive and mine too. What are we doing?
Right.
No, I don't know how he feels if one of them was to pass away, because both of mine. But if one of mine passed away, then I could enter in. Well, see, Christ entered in. He's done went through all this, and He's done entered in. That's what we're talking about now. He's a high priest that entered in one time, so He knows the feeling of your infirmity and can help you through these things. But I'll promise you one thing. You can